Welcome back to the Tasting Tone Podcast. I'm Brian with Blake Weiland of the Tasting Tone Mob Podcast.
That's kind of what it's become, hasn't it?
It is. It is. It definitely is. No. So, Blake, Mr. Tone Mob.
That's me. Yes, sir.
I notice I can detect a little bit of difference in your voice today.
You know, that is the sound of elation, Mr. Wampler. That's all that is. Don't trouble yourself with any worries or anything like that.
So you've been up what now, like 48 straight hours or?
No, not that long. I've been up for a while. I can't be expected to do the math in this condition, so I'm just gonna say I went to work. I had to be at work at 8 p.m. and I got off at 12 the next day. So
and you're still going,
and I'm still going on fumes.
Right. So that's just kind of a warning to everyone listening that if Blake says something completely off the wall, like he did before we started this recording, that's the reason why. Because I was talking about Gmail or something, and he was off talking about some other total topic, and I have no idea how he got from point A to point B.
But anyways, that's not really that much different than normal. So I mean,
it was worse than normal. It was, but that's okay. But that's okay. So let's jump right into it. You had a very interesting topic that you wanted to discuss with me.
Yes. What's the longest you have went without? Oh no, never mind.
No, that's not it.
That's not it. No, I know what it is. So it is interesting, and I've talked about it on my show with a couple different people and in private with some others. And I'm just curious. So there's been kind of this, I don't know what you'd call it. Resurgence, but like a reintroducing of rack gear in the quote unquote boutique world.
Wait, let me pause you for a second. Are you talking about from people who play guitar or from people who make products for guitar players?
Both.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Go on.
I've had some conversations on my podcast with people who make products for guitar players, who have indicated their interest in pursuing the rack area of things, whether that's Euro rack stuff, 500 series, you know, normal rack space units, mm-hmm. Like the 16-inch rack, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. So there's been a couple conversations. And then also some, you know, random forum and internet conversations around rack gear. And everyone's wondering, is this going to be like the next thing? And I know that's been asked before, but what are your thoughts on it? Do you think rack gear is going to have a resurgence? Is it going to be the 80s again?
Well, let me tell you, back in about 2004, maybe 2003, somewhere near that area, the ADA MP1 preamp, which is, you know, you've probably heard me talk about that before. One of the loves of my life as far as guitar gear is concerned.
Right.
Yes, I realize that is an 80s preamp that basically everybody, including God, used on record back in the 80s and early 90s. But it's a great sounding piece of gear. And in fact, that is the unit that I used on the Hairstortion video.
I was going to say, including on the Hairstortion video. So there you go.
Yeah, and it's just it's of course it's rack, but anyways, what I was getting to is at that time there's still the website up, I think called ADA Depot or something, where people were doing a lot of modifications and posting patches, and everybody at that time was just completely sure that this new revolution of gear chasers, tone chasers, was that the tide was going to turn and we were going to start people were going to start making more rack-related stuff, right?
Right.
And, you know, the price of ADAs and JMP1s were shooting up a little bit. And guess what happened?
Nothing. It didn't happen, basically. No.
So that's one thing. So I've seen this before. And the other thing is, let's think of why we stopped using racks. Now, you're like, what, 15, 16, something like that?
I'm 12 and a half, actually, Brian. Please don't add unnecessary age lines to my face.
Well, I'm sorry. I guess what I'm meaning to say is I'm roughly 15 years older than you are. So,
real rough. I don't know what that means.
That's pretty rough, but yeah. Roughly 15 years older than you are. So when people stopped using rat gear, what they started doing is they started realizing that it's kind of a pain in the ass to haul in like a 412 cabinet and a big head and like this gigantic monstrous rack and, you know, and then playing the VFW for like the next couple hours, right? Just a pain. Plus, right. It was so incredibly loud. It was just overkill.
Mm-hmm.
So people started going to lower wattage amps, or, you know, smaller amps and vintage amps. And now a lot of people are using smaller amps and smaller, lower power amps. And I don't know. Have you ever tried lugging like a big 412 cabinet and a big head around anywhere?
Sure have. Have you ever?
Really? Okay. Do you have fun doing that?
Sure don't. Okay. Sure don't.
Okay.
I mean, you know, like when I'm trying to impress somebody, I'm like, yeah, check this out. You know,
okay.
Throw it up on my shoulder.
Okay.
Get a herniated disc in the process, but you know, whatever. It's fine.
That's doctors can fix that. It's fine.
Yeah. The reason I'm not saying that I run a 112 15 watt rig all the time, but I want to run a 112 15 watt rig all the time for a good reason. So,
why did people switch to pedals in your opinion?
Well, because they're awesome. No, because I mean they're just much more convenient. Like you're doing things with your hands already as a guitar player. And I don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of interest in exploring like a pedal table to do like knob tweaking because I'm really weird. But the honest truth is that pedals exist because you're already doing something with your hands 90% of the time with guitars. So to like turn around and adjust a rack in the middle of a song is not exactly easy, but you could stomp on something.
That's true. So let's say that you want to change the repeats on your delay and it's rack mounted. Unless it's a knob, you're going to be scrolling through lots of menus and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is really a big reason why people were getting tired. Not a big reason, but an additional reason because people were playing like, okay, I need to adjust this parameter, but I have to hit menu, scroll over, hit enter, scroll over, scroll down, hit enter, scroll over, find repeats, up, you know, press the up button until I get the repeats, press enter, and then exit. You know, why can't I just turn a knob a little bit? That'd be so much easier.
Right.
So, the 500 series stuff seems to be mostly used for home studios and, well, not just home studios, but studio-based stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think I've seen anybody with a big 500 series rack playing guitar through it that much, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And plus, it was brought to my attention that it's not guitar level, like it's not instrument level,
right?
So it's not a direct thing. It's really predominantly designed for studio use,
right? Now you could make it instrument level, but it's not for the most part, right?
For the most part, yes.
Right. So you know, if we're going to racks, then it's pretty doubtful that you're going to get, you know. Well, let me put it this way. Unless you have a rack space for every effect, then you're going to be having multi-effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we start getting into multi-effects, we start into this race of how many multi-effects can we get in our box versus our competitor's box, right? So
yep.
Then you start going back into this menu problem, which then leads back to the problem of why can't I just turn a knob?
Right, speed, access type of thing, yeah.
Right. So I think like that's why, for example, let's look at Strymon. I mean, super high quality effects with knobs. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I could be way off. Maybe I'm way wrong. But at least from what I'm seeing right now, I don't really see anyone that's asking us for rack stuff. I mean, very occasionally someone will ask for some off the wall, you know, thing rack mounted. But, you know, more often than not, it's, smaller, 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 smaller. Can you make it smaller with all the options?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so. And I can totally relate to that, because now this is going to be, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but this might be kind of interesting. So one of my favorite pieces of gear that I own is actually a rack piece of gear. Mm-hmm. And it's a really oddball piece that almost nobody knows exists. And mm-hmm. It is the DOD R880. And it's a single rack space unit. And it's a delay. It is a dual delay. And it's all analog. And I don't know what kind of weird magic they put in that thing, but they put some weird magic in it, because it sounds really, really good. Mm-hmm. Like a more saturated Deluxe Memory Man type of thing going on here. And then it's also, you know, stereo ins and outs and all these other interesting things that it's got going on.
Right.
But to your point, I have been wanting that to be converted into a pedal somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not convenient to have this one, you know, 120 volt powered, you know, rack piece of gear to tote around for one thing. Like, it's right. only useful in the studio. But it's interesting because it is like instrument level and totally designed, you know, it's from the late 70s, I think. It was designed with guitar in mind, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sounds so good, and I wish it could be a pedal.
So. Well, you're in luck. You can download the schematic and build one.
Well, that's true, which leads me back to another interesting thing. I'm a little better now, but not much better. But this was something I talked about on episode 1 of the Tone Mob podcast, mm-hmm. and it was in reference to my electrical knowledge. I actually had a guy, I was like, hey, if I get the schematic for this, could you build me this in a pedal form? And they're like, yeah, for sure. And so I searched high and low, and I came up with what I thought was a schematic at the time. I've since learned the error of my ways, and I brought it to him and said, here you go. I had to really look hard for this. And he's like, this is a block diagram.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, and I said, sure it is, pal.
I know, said, that's why I'm giving it to you.
Yeah, now make said, it. And he said, it's also in French. And I said, cool. I can't find anything else. I really haven't been able to find, like, with just like the kind of, you know, I'm a pretty good Google ninja, and I haven't been able to find anything for it yet. So
you mean with your connections, you can't get a hold of the people at DOD, or isn't it Digitech now, and ask them for a schematic?
I probably. Well, it's funny you should mention that, because I never tried.
I've got many schematics that way.
I guarantee you they're not planning on reissuing that particular unit anytime soon. Well, I shouldn't guarantee.
No.
I can't imagine it, though. That's a pretty good point. I should attempt that. It's Harman now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that might be a place to start. So if I
knew
if
there
I,
was a reason we recorded this podcast today, that's the reason.
If I had to guess, it probably works about the same as other analog delays, and it's just, you know, the beauties and the details.
Right. I did, now this is, I'm really stretching myself here, but I did have one guy look at it, and he's like, it does have some weird stuff going on with, like, extra op amps and some weird stuff, but that doesn't really mean anything until you look at it, so I should stop right. talking about it. So,
yeah, and I can't speak on it because I don't see the schematic either. I see a place where I can buy it, but I'm not going to buy it. So
I found that one too, and I almost did, and I probably will if it comes down to that being the only barrier. But then my worry is that it's not the right schematic, since it's the only place you can get it.
That's true. That's very true. I don't know. So I'm curious here.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if you can, mention names or anything, but like who, like, let me put it a different way. Instead of saying who, what kind of company is contemplating coming out with rack stuff? Is it someone in the boutique niche, or is it something in a bigger niche? And I hate using that word boutique, but that's the only way to describe it now.
Right. That's why I like to throw the quote in quote unquote in there, but that gets annoying to say so many times on a podcast.
Right.
Yes, it's a boutique industry, guys, that are contemplating it. And you know, it makes sense that most of these guys I'm talking about have a studio connection also. Mm-hmm. So they also like work in a studio or have a lot of studio interest. So,
right. That's the weird thing about studio stuff, at least from what I've been able to gather, the price point of most like studio gear is a lot higher than like your average pedal, right?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you have higher. Right. So you're going to have a limited audience who's going to buy this stuff. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a very viable option, at least for someone like us. And you know, I may eat these words totally in a year and a half or whatever. I don't know. And if I do, that's fine. Like I said, I hope so because I want to break out the ADA.
I will say, I did think the hair distortion sounded pretty good. And if that's what it is, there you go.
Well, to do it again, I still would probably use the ADA, but I would have done it a little bit different and mic'd it a little different, et cetera, et cetera. I also would have, instead of like intentionally bunged up the solo on that, I would have tried to play it a little better because I intentionally was like trying to be stupid and suck, you know. not that I'm great, but like I intentionally like did some hammer-ons and pull-offs that were terrible and way out of tune. I Jonas'd it right up, you know what I mean?
Well, not you Jonas'd it. I mean, it's I don't know. The playing was definitely not as unique as it was on your Hammett video. That's for sure.
Now that one, I spent a lot of time practicing.
Oh well, you have to with that unique of a sound.
And if no one knows what I'm talking about, just Google Hammett pedal. Like ham sandwich and an IT it pedal.
Oh, man. Why'd you say ham sandwich? That sounds really good right now. I'm hungry.
That's interesting.
Do people care?
Oh, I heard somebody just get mad at you. Somebody's talking.
Well, they were looking at me saying, hey, why doesn't that guy have a ham sandwich? Dude, that sounds really good. I don't even know what to, I'm sorry. I apologize. No one wants to hear about my food cravings, but in this condition, I just kind of say whatever comes to my mind. Like I don't do that anyway, but whatever.
Right. It's just worse now, right?
It's substantially worse. My inhibitions are low.
Okay. So let me segue into something a little different here.
You know, the guy who invented that died on one of those.
Oddly enough, I do know that. But
I'm sorry.
Rather than a segue, I'd rather have a boosted board anyway, so.
Oh, there you go. I agree.
You know, I'm much more of a boosted board guy than a segue guy. But then I was a skater growing up, you know?
You were a skater boy?
I was a skater boy, but back then skaters were totally different than what they are now. Totally different culture.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, back when I was in school, back mm-hmm. then, there was a lot of, like, I guess we called them jocks, but it's like all the guys that are into sports were kind of separate, like, everybody was in their separate cliques.
Right, right.
I don't, at least here in this part of Indiana, I don't think it's quite so separate anymore, but, yeah, it was, like, so all the sports guys would buy skateboards and try to skate,
mm-hmm.
and it was quite funny because, you know, most of them weren't that good.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't know why we're talking about this on a gear podcast, but I was the weird kid that I built a bunch of half pipes.
Oh, nice.
So I had my mom's house had a bunch of half pipes in the back and everybody from town would come over to my house and we would skate until late in the night and my parents hated it. So,
awesome. Okay. Well, since we're talking about skateboarding, we've already went there. Let's delve into a couple questions that people may not know about you and skateboarding. So, first of all, the first question would be, are you goofy or regular?
I'm actually regular. Mm-hmm. Regular. Okay. And when we say that, people who know nothing about what we're talking about, that's which way you stand on the skateboard. So if I'm going forward, my left foot is forward.
Ah, interesting. I would be goofy. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I tried it both ways. I never could. It just didn't feel right. But yeah. Oddly enough, on a bicycle, I'm goofy. Like when because I also rode bikes too. So like when I'm riding half pipes or when mm-hmm. I was riding half pipes, I would ride with my right foot forward rather than my left foot forward.
Oh, interesting. I also rode bicycle and I never thought about that at all. I just did it. Now I don't know. I was goofy on that also, I guess. Now that
yes.
I think about it.
Yes, I was regular on skateboard and goofy on bicycles.
Anyway.
And now, so for both of you that's still listening to this podcast.
Right. Brian had a thought, but we're going to talk about our glory days when we were skateboarding fiends.
back when we didn't have jobs that we had to, you know, stay up for 24 hours and work, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those were good times, man.
So I don't remember if I asked you this last time. So if I talked to you about this last week, then stop me.
All right.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Which would you spend more money on, True Bypass or Buffered Bypass? I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Which would you spend money on first, a great amp or having a big pedal board full of stuff?
Okay. We did not touch on that, and if we did, I can't remember because I've been up for so long.
So we're going at it again.
Yeah, that's right. So everyone gets to hear my opinions twice, and I'm twice as belligerent. So bleh. No, I honestly don't think we talked about that last time. So good point. Let me preface this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love pedals, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. everyone who knows me and follows anything I do knows I love pedals. Mm-hmm. But with that said, an amp is your platform. You need a really good sounding amp to build your bass on, because that is in my opinion, and obviously I love guitar too, and you need a nice guitar that you're comfortable playing, but I would argue that amp is probably, your amp and speaker, you know, speaker cab are the most important parts of your signal chain. That's my opinion.
What makes a great guitar amp?
And that is different for everybody. A great guitar amp does what you are intending it to do. Whether you want it to be a semi-clean pedal platform, whether you want it to be the main source of your overdrive, whether you want it to be a completely sterile platform that lends no character, it is a great amp platform is what you need it to be. That's my opinion.
But you said start with a great amp. So I was wondering, like, so to you, what does that great amp look like?
Generally, it's going to be, depending on the, like, you know, the where I'm playing, it's going to be between 15 and 30 watts and be slanted American, you know, Fender voiced. Something I can get up to a decent volume, edge of breakup. And have a really nice clean tone by itself. That would be where I would go.
So is it generally like a Vox based thing, or you said like an American style. So more like a black face sort of thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's more my flavor. But I mean, obviously I've said a million times on my show and in various places, I love my Benson amp, which has some Supro leanings and some mm-hmm. other leanings in its breakup characteristics. But generally, if I had to pick one amp, it's going to be something like a Deluxe Reverb or a Vibralux. If I had mm-hmm. to have one, mm-hmm. you know, that would be my choice.
I see. So are you getting a good clean tone and then adjusting your pedals to that? Or are you kind of setting your amp up neutral and then adjusting your pedals to that?
I get a good clean tone and then adjust my pedals to that.
See, this is where we differ. So I think, like, the way I like to do it is set up a pretty neutral clean tone. But that's because I'm generally playing with a pedal of some sort on all the time. Even if I'm clean, I still want just a smidge of dirt in there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if anyone's never mind. I won't use the curse word. I think that bright switch on a Fender-ish type of platform can mm-hmm. just go straight to heck. You know what I mean?
Right there. Yep.
Yes.
So I use that depending on what guitar I'm using, honestly, a lot of the time. So
interesting. Dark Les Paul, you have your bright switch on.
Most of the time, yeah.
Strat or Tele, you got the bright switch off.
Definitely. Especially Strat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Compressor on or off all the time?
I very rarely use a compressor.
Kids.
Well, now, I should preface this, and I think we've talked about this before. I'm usually playing with so many different dirt pedals that I have enough compression. If we want to get into, like, setting up a super delicious clean tone, then technically I would have some compression in there, although it may not technically be a compression pedal. It might be something like a preamp, which of course will lend itself to, or which itself will give compression.
What are you calling a preamp exactly?
Well, it kind of depends on my mood. Sometimes it's a certain low gain overdrive. Sometimes it's a couple different boost pedals. That's generally between the two. It'll either be a low gain overdrive or some of these boosters.
So you're coloring your clean tone no matter what you do?
Pretty much.
Okay, then why start with a great clean tone? Why not just start with the pedals that you know you're going to use and then adjust your clean tone to that?
I don't know. Why do you ask me these hard questions?
I'm totally just asking from your perspective because I've already talked about this a bazillion times.
Right. Well, I think what it is I you know, I always start with, like, all my pedals off. I guess I could go into how I set up a sound for a particular song, and mm-hmm. it would be, I kind of know what song it's going to be, so I have, and this is usually, most of my experience and, like, playing time is in a recording sense. Mm-hmm. So I'll be like, okay, I'm going to play this song. I know I like a Telecaster for this song, so I'm going to play a Tele, and here's my amp, and here's the pedals I know that I like to use. And what I'll do is I start with the amp and the guitar by itself, dial in a sound that I really like, and then this is interesting. I'm kind of dissecting my own method in a way that I haven't really done before. Then I will turn on, like, the lowest gain piece, like if it's mm-hmm. a booster or an overdrive, mm-hmm. adjust that to where I like it. Turn on the next lowest gain piece, adjust that to where I like it, and it depends on how many pedals are in the chain, I'll go from there, and then start getting into my modulation and time-based stuff, and mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. So I guess I just try to make each stage as tasty as it can be, and then move on. I guess so that's how I do it.
So you're stacking a lot of stuff, then?
90% of the time, yeah.
Yeah, see, so someone like me, I mean, there's times that I do stack something, but for the most part, I'm setting everything up to be its own individual flavor. But, you know, with the caveat, like, so, you know, maybe I know that I stack the Paisley Drive and the Euphoria together all the time or something, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'll also at least hit both of those on and kind of get an idea of where they're going to be. Because more than likely, which is generally the case with me, I'm going to be reaching down and turning knobs anyways, probably in the middle of the song, and, you know, to much of the annoyance of everyone else around me. But, you know, so I'm I'm rethinking this whole rack thing. That might actually be pretty helpful if I just had something about chest level. I could just turn around and turn some knobs, and boom, there you go.
And that's something I've mentioned before. Like I'm a knob tweaker. Now I I'm not generally talking about live cause that's not something I do very often, but, I am definitely a knob tweaker, and something that's just there might not be a bad deal, which is why I've kind of, I've referenced, Nels Klein's, pedal table that he has. I know he uses it for making chaos with, but, I've always thought, you know, I would really get a lot of mileage out of a pedal table.
Mm-hmm.
So why not a rack, I guess?
Actually, whenever I do clinics and stuff, I use pedal tables. But well, that's because it's I can't stand like when you're watching a pedal clinic and someone is bent down 90% of the time talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer to be standing up and have it in front of me, and then I can just turn things on with my hands and tweak knobs with my hands. You know?
And then you know Brian started working on rat gear.
Yeah, you got me thinking about this. I'm gonna have to do some research, I guess.
Yeah, it's just something that's went through my mind lately, just based on these conversations, which is kind of why I wanted to talk to you about it. I think there is some merit to it, situation dependent, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's gonna sell like gangbusters, but I think there is something there.
Right.
And there is a Canadian goose staring at me right now.
So people are wondering what you're talking about. So you've pulled over into a park area.
Yes, I did. I'm in a very nice park.
Right, in order to have this little conversation. And you're staring at a goose.
This goose is staring at me. It's sitting there just like, I don't know if it wants bread or what it wants. It won't stop looking at me.
Maybe if you roll down your window and quack real loud, it'll go away.
You want me to try?
No, you don't have to. That's okay.
Will that make for good podcasting?
I don't know. I've never seen anyone do that before.
All right. Just a second here. Hold on.
Okay. So you're going for it, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
Just a second. Here we go.
Okay.
Windows down. All right. Dude, that's not making it any better. It's getting worse now. There's two of them. I'm rolling my window back up.
Yeah, I think that was a mating call. I think that was some sort of mating call.
No, I'm serious. There's two now.
Okay.
There's that two.
You don't speak goose, I don't think.
I don't think so. I'm going to send you a picture of these guys if this they stick around.
Awesome. Okay. All right, so this is
that's a podcasting first. So, wow, I hope I made sense.
This is definitely the first time on the podcast that anyone has quacked at a goose before.
I am so sorry, everyone that's listening right now. I'm probably irresponsibly podcasting right now. I wonder if that's a crime in some states, like podcasting under the influence of lack of sleep or something like that.
I don't know, but it is a first, I gotta say. Yeah.
you don't know if it's a crime in any particular state. However, it is a crime on the internet, and the internet police will be here shortly.
We shall see when all the gear pagers throw you down the stairs for quacking at the duck or whatever, you know.
No, it's a goose. They're goose. I don't want to insult them anymore.
Right.
Clearly,
then.
I've done something bad already.
Okay, so before I wrap this up, I'm going to say what I think about what a person should spend money on.
Okay.
Because, so for me, like, I think you can get, let's say, a PV Classic 50, okay? Mm-hmm. Change the speakers out of it. And I think it's a great pedal platform, even being inexpensive. So I don't think a $4,000 hand-wired amp is absolutely necessary for great tone. I really don't. I think there's some that sound great at that price, and there's also some that sound mediocre and even terrible at that price.
I will agree with that. I don't think it's necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so I mean, like with me, I would get a decent amp. Like if my finances are limited, I probably would start with a decent amp and probably some good pedals. And we talked about this part before, if I'd been playing a while, you know, if this is my, you know, I just bought a guitar last week and I'm taking my first lesson tomorrow, I'm probably not going to spend that much money on a great amp or a great pedal board. Mm-hmm. But, you know, assuming that, you know, everyone's been around gear for a while and knows enough about, you know, gear and that sort of thing and what tones they're trying to achieve. I think there's a lot of great amps that can be pretty inexpensive, you know? Like, for example, if you take like a Blues Junior and you uh, get, don't run it in the cabinet it comes with at all.
Oh, but, yeah. I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
412?
Run it into a 412 cabinet. Oh, it's just beautiful. Just so beautiful. It's awesome.
I mean, this is not really, we're not trying to talk about what inexpensive amps are great, but like I've been screaming about the Vox Night Train for a while now. I think that's a great amp, especially if you swap out, my buddy did this, he has one, and you swap out the preamp tubes
mm-hmm.
for some slightly lower gain ones. I can't, mm-hmm. he always tells me what they are and I can't remember. One's, he keeps a 12AX7. And it's not a 12AU7, but it's a...
AT7?
No.
It's not a 12AT7?
No, it's a different number altogether. And maybe it is, and I'm just crazy right now, but...
Is it an R2 3D2?
No, it's a 3P...
1212?
Yes, it's a 3P1212. That's what it is. Look it up.
I was just looking naming random numbers. I have no idea.
No, I can't remember what it is. I really can't. But it's a slightly lower gain first stage preamp tube in the Vox Night Train. If anyone wants to know, email me and I'll ask him. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that amp, but sure. That teaches on, I suppose. Not a big fan of the AC30 platform, though. So, but that's just me. I mean, it's okay for some stuff. Just,
I don't think this is an AC30 platform. That's what's different about it, I think. I don't think the Night Train is the same thing.
Well, I'm not saying it's the same thing. Is it Voxy voice? Does it have that chimey, clean tone?
Not really. I mean, it kind of sort of does, but like if you turn off, it's got a tone bypass on it,
mm-hmm.
and you turn that on, it is, like, thick and gnarly.
So that's just like the hand-wired AC30s that Vox came out with. They have the same thing.
You can defeat haven't played any of those, so I don't know.
Yeah, I do like that normal channel quite a bit. It's cool. Once again, I like to run it into a different cabinet, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
So I've been a cabinet junkie lately. So actually I've been really... toying around with some amps and amplifier modifications and really having a lot of fun doing that.
Say what?
Yeah, in fact, people may or may not know this, but I started doing, I'm calling it a vlog, but it's not like your typical vlog, VLOG, not blog mm-hmm. with a B. It's not like your typical vlog where like I'm sitting in a chair and I'm like, you know, it really gets my goat. And then I go off about the government for the next 45 minutes.
Right,
you know?
That's every other episode.
That's most vlogs are like, hey, this is me talking about, you know, what upsets me and what I think about mm-hmm. this or that. But instead, the route I'm taking is I'm taking ideas and putting them in small portions. So, you know, I talked about how to mic an amp with a couple different mics, you know, and a quick way to do that without having to move mics a mm-hmm. bazillion times. It's a special little plug-in. And then, on the second one, I talked about, I ran a bunch of different tube amp heads into the same cabinet and show the differences just between the heads, you know what I mean? And then on the third one, then I did those same heads, but with their respective cabinets.
Oh, okay.
So, like, for example, rather than running the AC30 through a 212 cabinet that I was using, I used its own cabinet, its speakers and everything else, and showed just how dramatically different those cabinets and speakers are actually contributing to the sound.
I see. Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
You're getting yep. real technical. You're not just ranting about Obama. You are ranting about Obama while you show people some useful information.
Exactly.
You know, I had a pretty bad TV dinner the other night, and I thanked Obama for it.
That's very interesting, Blake.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. I've ruined this episode.
No, it's been entertaining.
I hope that like Jimmy Joe over there is still listening because everyone else has turned this thing off by now, I'm sure.
Well, for every hate comment I get, then I'm going to forward to you, and you owe me $5.
$5?
Deal? I got to make a living somehow.
Oh, for crying out loud, I thought you sold euphorgias or something. I don't know.
All right, man.
I'm sorry. Some of this is me actually being really silly, and some of it's actually me trying to give you a hard time and playing it up a little bit. But I hope we provided some value and some nuggets in amongst me quacking at geese.
That definitely is a keeper. I'm going to have to download that little segment as a ringtone.
Right on, man.
Put it on the website. So, all right, man. Well, I will. I'll talk to you next week then.
Yes.
Right. And all right. So, if you have any questions, email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast and leave us a great review on iTunes. I'd appreciate it. It helps others find us. And Blake, I will see you next week.
And if you want to hear any duck noises, you can listen to my podcast, the Tone Mob Podcast. I've never made duck noises on that. I'm just kidding.
Next episode, you got to do that.
Maybe I'll have you on the next episode. It'll be like Inception.
There you go. I'll make cat noises or something.
Right on, Brian.
So, all right.
Thanks for having me on. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys.